Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Bob McKenzie will join us in about 5 minutes. The Jays are not in action tonight, back in action in Buffalo tomorrow. They lost 14-11 in extras.
That's
yesterday
crazy.
To Florida. Yeah, it was a wild game, or Miami. I keep calling them Florida. The Miami Marlins, and Bo Bichette with some history made last night. He went 5-for-5 with a walk, a home run, 2 stolen bases. He's the youngest shortstop in the modern era to achieve that, and he's the youngest Blue Jay in history to go 5-for-5 or to have 5 hits in a game. I mean, he was a rock star last night. His numbers continue to inflate. He looks great. So it's everyone else. You know, we're waiting for Bezier to get going.
Nate DeGrade? What was his deal?
He's a kid. I mean, Pearson got rocked. Like, that's he couldn't find the zone. When he did, he got hit, and he got hit hard. That's going to happen at times. I mean, he's still working his way through the majors. We can goof on the Marlins all we want. They're still better than a double-A team that he would have been facing a year ago. So, you know, he's had some ups and downs. It's early. I think it was his 3rd start last night.
You know, yeah, he's going to go through the process.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be fine.
Process.
But that's tough when you get tuned up. Like, I remember being a rookie and you have an off night. Like, it hits you hard, right? Like, it gets into your head a little bit. You know, when you're a young guy and you struggle, you start to it hits your confidence a little bit. Now, he's very confident and certainly is it seems like going to be an ace. So, I mean, we got people online, including our producer, comparing him to
Randy Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
not even comparing, saying he's better.
Yeah, better than right now. Just better
right
than,
now, he's better than the big unit. Yeah.
That was idiotic.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah, that's super fanish. But that's I think that in his mind, he
well,
thinks
you want
that's where
to
he's
make
headed.
It
yes.
True. Yeah, exactly. You hope that it – I mean, listen, if he's better than Randy Johnson, then he's an all-time great.
Yeah.
Like, Randy Johnson put together a few seasons that are just disgusting.
He was like an animal.
An absolute animal. When you look at some of his numbers and some of the staffs he was on, like, he was on a staff with Schilling where the two of them were just, like, mowing guys down. Like, they were both in their primes. In
the playoffs, it seemed like they just rotated who pitched every night. It's
right.
Like, they didn't even go to anyone else.
No, exactly. They were both of them on 2 days rest. Like, you're going out and you're pitching. You're giving us 8 innings and just, like,
isn't
rock
that
stars.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. But, like, not that this is a surprise. I mean, Randy Johnson is legitimately, a top 10 arm all time.
He had an attitude,
but,
too, if you want to see a fun video.
He did have an attitude.
Him walking in New York and the camera guys following him, he's in a tracksuit, and he wants to stuff that guy in a garbage can.
Yeah, he hated the paparazzi. He hated New York before he even played a game. He hadn't even put on the pinstripes yet, and he was like, I'm sick of New York.
He always had a tight little cookie duster and a rat mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might be – this would be a good list, like the most intimidating players in sports history relative to their sport.
Right.
Right? Like, I can't say Randy Johnson is more intimidating than Dick
than
Butkus.
Eric Lindros.
Or Eric Lindros. Exactly.
Right.
Guys who are literally going to kill you, like drop the gloves and punch your lights out or break your leg with a gutless tackle.
Right,
but
right.
But relative to their sport, I got to think Randy Johnson is one of the all-time intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, he was a lefty. He was 6'9 or 6'10 lefty that threw smoke.
6'10, 128 pounds.
Yeah.
And remember he killed that bird? Like,
oh,
that was just awful. Like,
the most random story, like, ever. Like, there's no one to blame, nothing you can do.
But that bird disintegrated. Like, it was like the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life.
That's one of the crazier clips in the past 25 years in sports.
Insane.
Yeah.
Do you think Clemens would be there? I think he was quite intimidating.
Oh, he was definitely intimidating. I think Johnson was more because I think being a
lefty
is different. Yeah. Being taller, he threw – like him and Clemens could hit 98, 99 on the gun too. I mean, both of them threw smoke. Nolan Ryan would be up there. But in terms of pitchers – like, I guess Rivera, in a way, because he just knew he was going to get you, right? Like, he'd come in.
Yeah, he wasn't physically intimidating. He was just was just great. Whereas a guy like Johnson, you heard batters say his release point, like he felt like you felt.
How do
like
I hit
he
this?
And
he's going to hit me
in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this guy's going to lay me out. He's going to throw 99 off my cranium, and I'm not going to be able to get up. So we'll ask Phillips about that. Steve Phillips coming up in an hour. Buster only tweeting out. This is one of, again, just a crazy COVID era story. The St. Louis Cardinals have played five games. Five. They have not played in the month of August.
How are they making that up?
Well, it's, I got to believe, impossible now. I mean, they have to play 55 games in something like 41 days. Like, it's not
triple
possible.
Headers? You can do a bunch of double headers, can you?
No, but they're not. They're done. It's almost like they're going to.
I think they almost
blow them
have
out
to.
Of the league.
I think they almost have to, because Olney just tweeted out, a source is telling him another staff from the Cardinals has tested positive. So they've already delayed or postponed. They're supposed to play in Chicago against the White Sox on Friday. They already pushed that back to Saturday. They're saying the team is hoping to get there. They're looking at maybe individual players renting cars and driving to Chicago this weekend.
What?
I don't know what that's going to do for you. But, it's a mess. Like, that is an absolute disaster. A team in Major League Baseball has played five games. Five.
Yikes.
You have to say to them, sorry for you this year. This is just, you're out.
Well,
you're done.
I think so.
But what are you doing this year? Like, that's the thing. What are the players doing? You talk about, like, you know, you're just sitting around waiting to play. Like, are you working out every day? Like, that's probably the craziest part about all this. You're watching the rest of the league playing, and you're just sitting there going, well, eventually we're going to.
Maybe we'll get there.
Maybe not, you know?
No, it's a really weird story, and I don't know how baseball is going to handle it. And that's a prestigious team, too. I mean, the Cardinals, that's an all-time great, you know, very rich history, baseball town type of team. And they're going through some struggles. So we'll catch up with Steve in about an hour. All right, here we go. This is it. We believe the last time. Well, I know we're going to catch up with them again down the road. I'm positive of that. Positive thoughts.
Yes,
joining us
positive.
Now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent. I've actually been thinking, I've been noodling around ideas on a regular segment I could do on Overdrive. When I'm full blown retirement, and it would be like, you know, things I don't want to talk about, or it could be first off, it would have to happen only on Fridays,
right?
You know, Fridays, 4 o'clock, kick off the show basically, and you could just say to me, so what'd you do this week? And I go, well, nothing hockey related, and then I could tell you, you know, I golfed on Monday, I went to the beach on Tuesday, did this on Wednesday. It'd be really boring, but
I like it.
Call it the outsider.
The outsider.
Exactly.
What about Bob? That's what I would. What about Bob?
Right.
Like,
I just
every
tell
Friday.
Basically what I did this week, and it has nothing to do with hockey.
Yeah, we'll make that work. I mean, that's basically what we do on this show anyway. So,
You know what? It's been the key to success, hasn't it?
Somehow it's worked out. Somehow we're still here. It's gonna be a transition for you. Obviously, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of that, and you're preparing for it. And I've been thinking about this, Bob. Like, and I wanted to ask you: does this mean you can be a fan again? Like, are you gonna be a fan? Let's say Canada's playing. Can you be a fan of Canada again when they play at the Olympics?
No, I can't because, well, first off, you know, I'm still doing the World Juniors.
Right.
So, you know, and I think I've mentioned to you before, and probably the reason you brought it up is because after the 96 World Cup, when I was really sour, when Team Canada lost, I was really mad at myself for feeling as bad as I was feeling. And I realized I'm a very proud Canadian. I love Canada. I'm a very proud Canadian. And if you got the name Bob McKenzie, you qualify for special Canadian status, a little more Canadian than everybody else. I haven't had the mouse in my beer, but if I told people I did, they'd believe me.
Right.
So anyways, but after that 96 World Cup, but anyways, the one where Brett Hull was playing for the U.S. and he booted the puck in, and I was really sour when Canada lost that. So obviously in 1996 or thereabouts, I was still emotionally invested in Canada when they played internationally. And I'd done the World Juniors for many years and what have you. So, and that, but it really bothered me because I found that was the first time I ever noticed that when I was doing my job, and at the time I was 96, I would have been working for the Toronto Star. I was thinking like a fan instead of thinking like, you know, a columnist. And it bothered me. So I said to myself, it would be really good somehow if you could divorce yourself from these emotional feelings. And, you know, and I joke around about not doing predictions. And some people have said, well, you know, you stopped doing predictions because you just didn't want to look stupid. I guess there's an element of truth to that. If you get beat by Maggie the monkey in 1 year, I think I did get beat by Maggie the monkey, then maybe, you know. But that's when I realized that even something as simple as a prediction creates an emotional investment that doesn't do me any good. Because for me, I like to be rational. I like to be thoughtful. I like to look at it, you know, from every perspective. And cheering for or wanting an outcome to happen and then it not happening, and then you get all pissed off and you're all sour and it clouds sort of your view of how you might assess the situation. So anyways, long story short, or long story along the way this is going, I just decided that I got to somehow divorce myself from that, and I managed somehow to do it. And I'm not saying I cheer against Canada, because I don't. And there's lots of times where I've got friends involved in the international hockey, and I think, wouldn't this be cool for everybody if Canada wins this? You know, when I was walking in 2010 to the rink and I just saw how pumped up everybody was and how exciting it was, I thought, this would be really, really, really cool for Canadians in Vancouver if Canada wins. But by the same token, when the U.S. scored that goal late in the gold medal game and it went into overtime, and the reality was Canada might lose it, I wasn't upset or angry or bitter or any of those things. And when Sid won, I was like, oh, that's nice. That's excellent for everybody's going to be really happy. How cool is that as a storyline? But as opposed to if Patrick Kane had scored the winning goal and everybody went home unhappy, I would have been fine with it. So I don't know if I don't think I'm going to change my approach on international hockey, because I still do the World Juniors for the next 5 years.
Well, I think we'd let you get a pass on that. I mean, the World Juniors, I guess, are one thing, but they're going back to the Olympics in, I guess,
yes,
what is it, 2022 and then 2026. Yeah. And
any word, Bobby, on the juniors? I mean, they haven't really talked. I know the junior hockey's kind of in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, we'll know more on that probably, I would think, by the end of the month, if not sooner. And it's probably on my many to-do list of things I haven't gotten to yet, but should probably
or you care about.
Well, I actually do on that one, yeah. That one I do.
Yeah, that one's in your wheelhouse.
So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen on that. Now, the Olympics, and you'll get a kick out of this, knowing the way my mind works. I'm fully semi-retired. And I know very specifically what it is that I've got to do with my new contract and what it is that I don't have to do. But then I started thinking, Olympics, NHL Olympics, that might be something for Bob McKenzie Media Inc.
That yes.
Come back for 3 or 4 weeks somewhere if somebody needs somebody. I thought that one might be a little supplementary income during the Olympics. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're in Italy in 2026, are they not?
I'm not sure.
That one might be worth a quick hop, skip, and a jump. And
yeah.
Just checking in. How's everyone doing? Let's see what's happening.
We doze, but we never fully close at
right.
Bob McKenzie Media.
Exactly. With Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. So I'll ask you what I think most Leaf fans would be wondering now that, you know, you're semi-retired and you've been covering this game for a long time and covering this team for a long, long time. How do you put it into perspective, you know, covering the team for 40 years, give or take, and never winning a cup? You know, I don't know if you'd be disappointed in that lack of coverage, but missing out on covering a cup run and actually winning one in Toronto. Where does that stand for you?
Yeah, you know, and again, that would be one of those ones where if the Leafs ever won the Cup, I would say, oh, you know what, that's really nice for the people of Toronto. They really deserve that. Leaf fans really, really deserve that. My friend Brian Hayes, who lives and dies at the Toronto Maple Leafs,
yep.
My friend Jeff O'Neill, who gets paid to be critical of them when he needs to be critical of them, but bleeds blue, even when he played for the Carolina Hurricanes or the Hartford Whalers, he was still, in his heart, a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I think it'd be really cool for everybody to have that. I don't know if it's ever going to happen in my lifetime, but And it's gotten, you know, epic proportions because, you know, Toronto and Montreal are obviously the two most storied franchises in the league, the ones that have been here the longest. And Montreal has at least got, you know, 93, 86, the run in the '70s to hang their hat on. But it's just the whole notion of, you know, and I understand it's a Leaf question, and I'll get back to the Leafs in a second, but it's amazing to me that no Canadian team has won a cup since 1993.
Right.
That's bizarro. And so as much as the Leafs obviously predate that and go all the way back to 67, that says more about Harold Ballard and, you know, a number of other things. And probably the closest they came was the 93 playoffs. It would have been a great, you know, it can't happen ever again, the all-Canadian final, you know, with the all Toronto-Montreal all-Canadian final. You know, we were so close. We were Wayne Gretzky's best game ever away from having a Toronto-Montreal Cup final that year. And that, for me, probably was as many good times as there was when Pat Quinn was running the show and as close as they got in a few instances there. That 93 run was the most charged up, energized the city I've seen it since 67. And it was really unfortunate that they didn't get that that opportunity to go up against Montreal in the Cup final. But I think it'd be really cool if the Leafs won. But it's even that much harder now than ever because we just consistently have added teams. And as I said, now I think we're dealing with a phenomena of not just the Toronto Maple Leafs not winning since 67, but no Canadian team winning since 1993. That's bizarre.
Do you think there'd be salt in the wound for Leaf fans, Bobby, watching Vancouver and their young guys kind of, who knows what's going to happen with St. Louis, but...
Yeah.
If they go a round or two or just go on some kind of deep run,
sure.
It's like, why are these guys getting it and our guys aren't?
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. And that just rubs salt in the wound for Leaf fans and turns up the heat on Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Sheldon Keefe, for sure. But as I say, as you pointed to, it's one game against St. Louis. And there's a lot of people in... The Vancouver Canuck fans, they love their team like Toronto Maple Leaf fans love their team.
Of course.
Even with maybe even a different type of intensity, where there's like almost an edgier intensity with Vancouver fans and their love-hate relationship with the Canucks. And they're obviously, you know, thrilled beyond words right now that they were able to knock off Minnesota in the first round. And now have a 1-0 lead on the defending Stanley Cup champions, who, quite frankly, have not looked at all good in this thing. I mean, you know, Boston at least bounced back, and it was a tough game against Carolina. Although Carolina's a really good team, but you know, Boston started to show some signs of, yeah, we could be the Boston Bruins again. We didn't see that from St. Louis in this return to play.
Now, Bennington doesn't, I'm not going to lay it all at his feet, but he certainly hasn't been very good. And that team looks, for some reason, they look like they're ready. They're trying to turn it on, flick the switch, and they can't find it right now. And actually, where I wanted to go, Bob, is, you know, obviously this tournament's going to sort out and be a cup final, but, you know, just anticipating looking ahead, like, do you see a really active off season with expansion coming, with, you know, with roster shuffles? I think there's going to be, obviously the pressure's on here in Toronto, but do you see a lot of managers being very, very proactive here, maybe a little bit different than other off seasons?
I would think so for a number of reasons. You know, and this whole flat salary cap for who knows how long, there may be some teams that are looking long and hard at their roster, who's making what. What can we do to give ourselves more breathing room? What do we have too much of? What do we not have enough of? Is this going to present? Is the financial pressure of the pandemic and the flat cap for a number of years? Is that going to free up some more bodies that might not otherwise be available? I don't know if it will or not. I'm assuming it will, but you know, it might also create a bit of a. It might paralyze everything to some degree as well. So where teams are kind of looking at it and saying, well, if the fit's not absolutely perfect, maybe we just got to roll with what we've got and it's going to be harder to get better in this short term for the next year, two, three, whatever the case may be. But I think teams will be motivated to do stuff. And again, the one asterisk I would provide to that would be that there may be some teams that come out of this and say, don't want to read too much into what happened in this weird return to play in August and September, unless it just confirms or shatters your illusion of what your team was for 70-plus games in the actual regular season that ended up being paused in March. So I think it could cut both ways. There's one part of me that really feels like, yeah, you know what, Noodles, I think you're right. I think teams are going to get real aggressive, they're going to get real creative, and they're going to try to solve some financial problems here if they can. And then there's another part of me that thinks if everybody's trying to do that, you know, do you just end up with a whole bunch of everybody's talking, but, you know, nobody can pull the trigger on something just because the numbers aren't going to add up?
Yeah, I think what we need is more, you know, grizzled veteran GMs in the game, because Jim Rutherford in Pittsburgh said he's basically planning on throwing a grenade into his room and changing things up. And David Poile in Nashville said the same thing.
Oh, to David Poile, like he's a pretty calm guy, but man, he's fired up.
He stated it. He's like, players aren't coming back. Like, there's going to be guys here that just are not coming back.
Yeah, good luck with that. Like, who is he talking about? Kyle Turris?
Yeah,
like, $6 million.
Craig Smith.
So, and that's, you know, and that's what we don't know yet. So, you know, I don't want to sell David short by any stretch, because maybe he is going to, you know, take a jackhammer to things, or maybe he's going to just move the guys that we assume that he's going to move or, you know, take out of the equation. You know, and David and Jimmy are both veteran general managers. In fact, along with Lou, those are the three elder statesman GMs in the National Hockey League. And Jimmy knows that, you know, he won those back-to-back cups. And he obviously knows with Crosby and Malkin, the clock is ticking, the window is closing. So he's not going to be shy about whatever it is that he thinks he needs to do to try to wring one more or two more cups out of this group. Some might think that the window's closed. He wouldn't subscribe to that, and he's going to do something to try and jam that window open. And David, you know, bless David, because there's part of me thinks the reason he's still a general manager of the National Hockey League is simply because he wants to win the Stanley Cup so badly. He doesn't want to leave until he gets it, and he obviously came close. He and Jimmy went head-to-head, the Preds and the Penguins,
right,
in that cup, and won, you know. And Jimmy already had a cup from the Carolina years and what have you. But, you know, one of those guys was going to get one, and one of them wasn't. And David was the disappointed guy. And each successive year since then, the Preds have gotten further and further away from doing it. And so he, too, has got to be of the mindset, I don't have a lot of time here. I got to get cracking here. If we're going to win with Roman Josi and these guys, I gotta flip a switch somehow, and if it means throwing a grenade in, then I guess I gotta throw a grenade in. So we'll have to wait and see exactly how it plays itself out.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to as much chaos as possible, and we'll see. We'll see when it happens, where it's going to happen, where it's going to take place. But we'll leave it there. It's been our pleasure for all these years. Thank you for putting up with us, Bob, as always. And
thanks, Bobby.
And we'll do this again down the road.
Thank you, boys.
Thanks, Bob.
Top-notch radio programming. I'll miss it greatly. I will occasionally listen. Actually, you know what? You know what the good thing is? I don't have to listen. My kids, Mike and Sean, they are avid listeners, and they tell me when there is something that's really, really funny, and then I jump on and get online if I don't happen to be in the car or listening to the radio, and I make sure that I hear the essential stuff. It's been a blast, and we'll still be hanging around. And I can't golf with Obies; I'm not good enough. But I'll try and get Hazy B out to Wooden Sticks with
yes,
me one
sir.
Day.
Let's do it, Bob. You got it. Always.
So
what,
I just took you
there.
Out today, and then you're going out with Bob, and I can't. I don't.
Oh, wait a second. Time out.
Yeah.
If you would last about one hole on the course with Mio, you would just you'd get in your cart and you'd make a quicker exit than the Dubis. No.
I don't care what anyone else does as long as they do it quickly. I played with Hazy B, and he was scraping it around a little bit today, too.
But sometimes, like, 10 or 12 shots on a hole doesn't happen quickly.
Even I'll put it in your pocket myself. I'll put it in your pocket after 7. That's all you need to take is a 7. You're retired. There's no need to write down a 12. Nobody has time for that garbage.
Well, the good news is I don't keep score. Actually, I've started keeping score, but if I was playing with you, I wouldn't keep score. So what I would do is just make sure there were cold drinks and beverages.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. That's the priority list.
I love that.
All right, we'll make that happen, too. Always great catching up with you. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Bob.
Love you guys. Take care.
There he is, Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. There he is, a legend's legend, Bob McKenzie. And we'll miss Bob on, you know, a couple times a week, but he'll be on again in the future. I don't dispute that. I don't deny that. I think Bob will join us at some point, and we'll track him, and maybe we'll just get him on and talk about whatever he wants to talk about. That works for us.
I wonder if we could ask him, was that earlier this week or last week, where what would you tape to your snout to golf play Augusta? Yeah.
I would staple Al's brother's underpants to my nostrils.
I know. You meant like Bobby Mack would just hang up on us if that was.
I think he's probably going to start playing a lot more. That's what he seems to be telling people. He told me that a few weeks ago, and that's what he indicated right there, is he's going to get out there and start playing more, and he's going to have time on his hands. So.
Well, he's earned it. Certainly absolutely. He's earned it. Yeah.
Yep, for sure. So that was great catching up with Bob, as always. And we got Marcellus Wiley coming up in about an hour. Steve Phillips still to come just after 6 o'clock. Tracking the Raptors down in the bubble. The Jays are off today, back in action tomorrow night. And there's games going on, as always. I mean, yeah. The NHL's playing, and there's a pursuit for that 8-9 spot in the West in the NBA as well. We're tracking those games that are currently underway. It's getting pretty crazy in both leagues, so we'll keep you up to date on that, as always. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Columbus Blue Jackets are up 3-1 on Tampa.
Yeah, the Wennberg goal was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a beautiful goal. And
my brother chimed in and said, goal of the year.
That's a bit rich. Bit
Come
rich.
On.
Did you see? Matthew Tkachuk scored that goal this year, did he not,
in
Nashville?
That is like 10 times. That is the goal of the year, hands down. That was a snapshot through the legs.
Shelf.
A bar down.
Overtime.
To win.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean and McDavid's got a couple.
Oh yeah, well McDavid on the Leafs. I mean that's
McDavid
5 days ago, or whatever it was.
Yeah,
McDavid goal
like
against the Leafs will live forever.
In the neutral zone. The Leaf goal wasn't that good. Come on, that's our buddy back there, Morgan Rielly.
Well, I love Morgan to death, but I was 40 feet away from that live. I was calling that game.
Yeah, I was.
That was
a lucky goal.
It was disgusting.
It was gross. That was a gross one.
He gave you the finger, too, after the goal, didn't he, Hazy? He just said
I think
number.
He did look up at me and go, hey.
He just said, stuff it, Hazy B.
Well, that's because Nazem Kadri wasn't here to shut him down. He finally had an easy game.
Oh, that's going to be painful, too. The farther they go, it's just
that team is coming. I'm telling you, that team is legit. If that Grubauer can hold up, that team. Like,
it's going to be tough to beat four times.
Are they
it's like
good?
They're skating downhill every time they have the puck.
I know.
It that starts ran. With 29. He's a monster, but it seems like they're skating downhill.
Yeah. Well,
they're a great team.
Kadri was outstanding the other day.
Yeah.
Like he is.
He had 8 shot on goal.
Yeah, he had 7 or 8, and he had a big goal himself. I mean, we don't need to rehash everything, but how they just gave him away for what they gave him away. And it wasn't a giveaway at the time. I mean, it wasn't. Tyson Barry and Kerfoot was not a giveaway. Tyson Barry just didn't perform.
That one wasn't for me. I mean, he did some dumb things, but quality of play, the number he was at, wasn't that kind of a good thing?
And he loved being here, too. He loved being a Leaf.
Yeah. Like, and he had some jam.
A ton of jam. Like, you could, yes, would you go offside?
You're the captain of the fan club. You love that
I love Kadri. I've loved them since they drafted him. That was in the early years, that was the joke. I was his dad on the radio that was just pumping his tires all the time. I did. I loved him. I loved his attitude. I liked the edginess. I loved that he'd snap. It would make me uneasy sometimes. I'd be like, here we go. He's going to get suspended or do something dumb. But at least he made it interesting, and I knew he cared.
Well, he played with passion, but, you know, the diving and that was – I used to get on him a little bit because I felt he was always flapping around.
But he drew penalties, though.
You're right, he did.
Like, he did dive, but he also drew him, right?
Here's the thing that we're talking about with Nazem Kadri. He brings spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, he has spirit in his game. Like if there's – no, honest to God. If there's nothing going on, you could count on him to go out there
and press
a button or two. Exactly. Like, he plays with a lot of jam. Like, and you have to respect that. Regardless if you love the player or not, you respect that he comes to play. And, yes, did he cross the line in Toronto? Absolutely. 2 years in a row in the exact same spot against the exact same team. And, you know.
It burned his team. It did.
It burned his team. Yeah, it cost them. It did cost them because he was a valuable player to them. And, you know, I think there were a lot of people.
But it clearly wasn't just him. Like, look where they are right now without him. It's not like they won a cup without him. And so, well, we would have won the last 2 years if he didn't get suspended.
Correct.
You know, it's pretty clear the evaluation that they had to get rid of him. You know, and some of it might have been money related. But you're telling me Andreas Janssen is worth getting rid of Nazem Kadri? You know, Kapanen? Like, get real. It was a swing and a miss. And the truth is, they will be looking for a Nazem Kadri now for years. They will be. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to find him. They're not.
Well, they're not going to find a third line set. Now, you're right. I think, what does he make it? 4.5 or 4.25 or something?
For another 2 years after this, I believe.
Right. But a bit rich for your third line centerman. I know that's where they were looking at economically. Just when you're paying your top two centermen double digits.
Yeah, like, but Kerfoot's at 3.5.
Yeah.
Kerfoot's $3.5. Kerfoot's not playing for $975.
No, it's a $1 million cheaper, and I think there's a couple years more on Kerfoot, right? Or at least one more.
Maybe one more.
I think they signed him to a 4-year deal.
He's nowhere near Nazem Kadri as a player. Like, not even close.
Here's the thing, and I'm not defending it, but that when Kadri's last year, I believe he scored 16. Did he not? 16 or 17?
Yeah, he dropped back. Yeah.
In a three spot, he was not. He was not being used properly, if that makes sense.
No, you're right.
The other two ahead of him. So I could see Kyle's logic going, let's get a traditional three that could give us the 15 to 17 that Nazem was bringing and throw in Barry, which didn't work. But you could see the thought process where Nazem's a two. He's not a three. He's not a one. He's a really good two. And I think he slotted nicely in Colorado. Here, it was a luxury having that three spot. That's, you know, that's really what it was, having those guys down the middle that made you very deep. Now, do you understand kind of where I'm at?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. But
the bottom line, it was a miscalculated play, and it didn't work out. It was a failure.
And focusing on the goals takes away from everything else he brings.
Correct.
Right? Defensively, he's sound. He's an agitator. He's a gamer. Yeah. He gets pissed off. He's vocal. He's loud. He was a leader. He was a guy that loved being here and promoted the idea of being a Maple Leaf.
But that's our intangibles, Brian.
Absolutely.
That's the word intangibles. That's the stuff where it's hard to quantify. And I'm not suggesting Kyle did that, but when people have the argument, like, tell me an intangible, that's an intangible. Those are things that don't show up on the score sheet, don't show up on a spreadsheet.
But they matter. Yeah, and they matter over time, and they matter in terms of building your team. And, and listen, it's gone. It's c'est la vie. It's over. Like, the deal's done, and Kadri's on a great team, and Nazem's going to give himself a shot at going after cups. It won't only be this year. Colorado's going to be a team to be reckoned with for quite some time. Yeah. But the Leafs have to figure out, you know, how to move on and how to get a little bit deeper and, I think, a little bit tougher and get a little bit louder and a little bit more in your face. And I think those are ingredients that are lacking right now. And I hope they feel the same way, and hopefully they get addressed. But we're not going to see that for a while, and we're not going to see them back on the ice for quite some time. So So be it.
A long time.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate part. Like, I was thinking about it this morning. Like, this hockey's great. You know, I've been just loving watching it. I think it's cool that it's on all the time. Like, it's legitimately on all the time.
Yeah,
noon till 2 in the morning. It's on.
Yeah,
I love it.
You can watch it, and it's really neat to watch the storylines, and it's unfortunate that we're, you know, us in the city of Toronto are not involved in that, because we'd be more invested just emotionally, the city. But, you know, it's great hockey, but I kept thinking about it. Like, training camp could be December. Like, we have no idea if COVID's coming back, if there's going to be – you know, another
wave.
Well,
never left in the States.
Correct. Like, you know, I'm just saying, the numbers, you pointed it out yesterday, Brian, the numbers here have been really, really nice and respectable and low. If there's going to be another wave, kids going back to school, like, there's so many what ifs. But all I could think about is, you know, the next time we are talking about, you know, everyday Leaf stuff is like, hey, man, that could be December. And, but, you know, Kyle's going to make some moves. That's why I asked Bobby Mack about that. I wholeheartedly believe that this is going to be a very active offseason. You know, it really is. And that starts in October. Like, that doesn't start in December.
Yep, and the draft. There's going to be things that happen. It does every year. Yeah, there's always turnover. So that will most certainly happen. Steve Phillips coming up in about 25 minutes on Bo Bichette and his big night last night. And, you know, Bo Bichette's been – he's been – pretty good, and he's starting to get really hot. Like, he's hitting home runs. He had a couple of multi-hit games recently. Last night he went 5 for 5. He walked in the 10th. I think Travis Shaw's been a good find. Like, Travis Shaw, he stepped up. He hit a big home run last night to tie the game late in the 8th inning, I believe it was. It's the other kids. You know, Biggio's taken a bit of a slower start. Vladdy has been a great chance and's been pretty terrible at the plate. Gurriel's got to get going. Like, that's what they need. They need the breakthrough from the other young kids. If they get that and the pitching can hold up, you know, last night notwithstanding, I think the Jays, they still some runway here to hover around a wild card spot. They're not going to win the division. No one expected that. But if you stay in the race, you give yourself a shot. And we'll see what Steve can tell us about that. We'll get into the latest from the St. Louis Cardinals, who have not played in weeks. They've played 5 games total.
They're done.
The whole season.
Steve will confirm or deny, but it's got to be game over.
It's got to be pretty close. And we brought up Randy Johnson randomly earlier. We'll ask Steve to put his intimidation factor into perspective. All time in baseball.
Nolan Ryan.
Ryan would be on a short list for sure. You know, you think Clemens, you think Ryan, you think the big unit. Like, those are just three beasts that were on the mound that threw heat, you know, and struck you out and challenged you. And like, Randy Johnson's numbers, someone sent them to me on Instagram, like 4 Cy Youngs, 8 times he was second in Cy Young voting. Can you imagine having 12 seasons where you're a top 2 pitcher in the league?
And like, he made money, but can you imagine the type of money that gets you today?
A 27-year-old Randy Johnson today would sign for more than Garrett Cole just signed for.
That's exactly right.
Like, it'd be a $400 million contract or close to it.
Yeah.
And he made money. Like, Johnson made money, but like,
well, he jumped around though, right? Like, he was in Seattle, he was in Arizona, he was obviously in New York. Like, he jumped around throughout his career.
I watched him pitch live one night. Like,
the big unit,
and he liked to work fast too. Like, he would like, give me the ball, let's get going here.
Yeah,
I loved it. Like, you know, I didn't go to a ton of baseball games over my whole lifetime, but the ones that stand out are guys like Clemens and Johnson. Seeing there used to be a pitcher named Scott Erickson. Mm-hmm. I watched him pitch 2 complete shutouts, like, just randomly.
Just
like,
running amok on an opposition. Well, Randy Johnson was in Montreal, too, to start his career. I can't believe I forgot that.
Didn't know that, no.
Yes, he started in Montreal. So, yeah, he had the Expos. He was in Seattle, and that's when he really started cooking. And then he went to Houston. He was in Arizona for a while, the Yankees. He ended up in San Fran to close out his career. Some of his numbers, I'm looking at them right now on Baseball Reference. Like, it is comical. Like, the strike, like 271 innings. Like, in 99 with Arizona, he must have won the Cy Young that year. I think he did.
Yeah, for sure.
He had to have. 271 yard innings pitched. How many strikeouts? He must have had over 300 that year, like way more over. There's so many stats I can't even keep up.
Wow, that's impressive.
364 strikeouts. 364 Ks. Like, that is outrageous. Basically 1.5 Ks an inning. Like, that's how good he was in his prime. So we'll catch up with Phillips on that more in about 20 minutes. And Marcellus Wiley coming up into the 6 p.m. hour as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Steve Phillips in about 15. There is some golf going on right now. The Wyndham is taking place. And it's actually not a bad field coming off a major. Like, there's a bunch of the big names that kind of tailed off and said they're not going to play in it. But Koepka's playing, Spieth is playing.
They're all trying to qualify for the FedEx Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you got to get out there, right?
Like, but is Tiger Woods even in that?
No. I don't know where Tiger is in terms of FedEx. I don't know what his ranking is. I don't think he's played enough.
No,
like, how
I don't
could he possibly
he...
get in?
He doesn't seem like he's doing much more this year. It's just maybe the majors, the U.S. Open, and then the Masters, and then it's just check, please.
Yeah, he might play like the Tour Championship, and
he won't qualify for.
Yeah,
us.
I guess you're right. Yeah, you got to be in the FedEx. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. I guess maybe he'll only play two more tournaments. I don't know what his plan is. I know before COVID hit, the belief was that he wanted to qualify for the Olympics, and in order to do that, you got to play, but. Maybe the qualifying for that is going to carry over to next season, so he feels like he can still get into contention kind of next winter and into the spring of next year. That's hoping that the Tokyo Games even take place.
Golf's been pretty consistent as far as having negative COVID, correct?
Like, yeah.
Here or there, there's been the odd one, but it's
early on, and that's about it, Noodles.
Like, yeah, I don't understand about this COVID, bro. You said to me on the golf course this morning, I think you said there was like 33 people in Ontario. Like,
yesterday.
That was the number?
New cases. New
couple
cases.
Days ago, that was.
So,
yeah.
If it's just,
yeah.
Where are they getting it from? Like, where are those 33 people getting it from? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I mean, I don't have that answer for you. I don't know.
You don't know if it's community. Transmission, or if they, you know, somebody who is asymptomatic has it, you know, like that's the thing. The point is the numbers are way down, but it's still there. It's still present and, you know, being transmitted. That's why people still have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Like it's not gone. And I don't know if the numbers get so low and then if there's a resurgence, if people aren't smart about it, then it's going to get passed around. That's why there's a lot of, including myself, there's a lot of parents, you know, stressed about putting kids back in school right away. I mean, the announcement was that, you know, while we were on, but it was supposed to be 3:45 this afternoon.
Well, what did they say? I didn't see it.
Paraphrasing. Sounds like they're going to dump some money into schools and help with online, but it, also they're saying they're going to... I don't know if you'll see, but HVAC is trending. They're saying that they're going to change the air ventilation systems in a lot of schools. Well, how the hell are you going to do that in 3 weeks?
No,
you know, some schools are 100 years old. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people down on this kid. And he is a kid, isn't
Steve
he?
Steve Lecce, you mean?
Yeah, he's like 28 years old, isn't
no,
he?
No, he's into his 30s now, I think.
Likes a tight pant.
Yeah, he does. Was he's a politician, and he took the job, and he ran, and he's the minister, so he's got to own it.
Yeah,
you know,
he's also got
like what a tough year for he's up against a negotiation
exactly.
Before COVID, and it was a tough negotiation, and he's dealing with marching orders from up top. It's not
Agreed.
Like he has full reign to do everything he wants, and now this hits, and this is the most sensitive topic you could possibly have is what's going to happen at schools.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it unfolds, but you know, point being is that if we're still mindful and hopefully things are trending in the right direction, then. You know, we can get through all of this, but...
Well, they are trending in the right direction. I mean, right now,
yeah,
I believe there's 20 or fewer people in the ICU in the whole province, which is a great number.
That's
you know,
great,
The amount of deaths per day are, I believe it was zero again today. Generally, it's been in single digits for a long time, which much better than it was 3 months ago, clearly. So we have done a lot of great work, and I think we should take a second to acknowledge that and appreciate that. But to your point, Noodles, it doesn't mean it's over. I mean, look at New Zealand. New Zealand went something like 102 days, and then it showed up. Like today or yesterday, they went back into lockdown because there was three or four cases that popped up. And they're on an island, you know, so that now there's people coming in and out. But we're going to have to learn to live with it. I think that's become abundantly clear. And it hasn't been easy, and it won't be easy for the foreseeable future. But just hopefully we don't get a crazy spike.
I agree.
You know, and the thing is about the states, like I saw, I think yesterday they had upwards of 1,500 deaths. That's the highest they've had since May. Like it's, we're in mid-August and it's spiking again
still,
in large parts of the U.S., which is scary. Final hour up next, Steve Phillips will join us on the Jays. Bichette's big night last night. Nate Pearson, not so much of a big night. What happens with the St. Louis Cardinals and more. And Marcellus Wiley in the next hour as well. A couple of big signings in the NFL. Tight ends are getting paid. See what Marcellus thinks about that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.